today we're going to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and specifically considering the idea that the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. So let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. And of course, we're thinking about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And these attitudes that Paul is discussing here are attitudes that we all need to have within our lives as Christians. And when we think about the word, and we think about the fruit of the Spirit, we remember that this is something supplied by the Spirit. What does it mean to be spiritual? It means that we are following the teaching, the leading, and the guidance of the Spirit. And here, we're talking about the Holy Spirit as He is revealed to us, God's holy word. And as we, within our spirit, submit ourselves to the teaching of the Holy Spirit, that's what it means to be spiritual. I know there's a lot of definitions of spirituality out there in the world, and a lot of it has to do with some New Age ideas. That is not what the Bible teaches that it means to be spiritual, but rather to be spiritual is to follow the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's teaching. Kindness is one of those attitudes that we can display and we are in control of. It is under our control to be kind to someone else. And that is something that we need to think about doing. But what is kindness? The word kindness comes from several different words in the New Testament. Sometimes it comes from this word philanthropia, which means the love of mankind, or it means practicing a love toward mankind. Sometimes the word Philadelphia is translated kindness in the New Testament. It means brotherly love. The word that is here in Galatians chapter 5 is Christotes. And that means goodness, honesty, uprightness, or good-heartedness. And in the Old Testament, we have the Hebrew word chesed, which is translated kindness in many passages, but it can mean covenant faithfulness, loving kindness, steadfast love, and sometimes mercy. And so you can see that this word kindness involves a tremendous number of ideas or tremendous number of concepts, but it's rooted in goodness and love of others. That's what kindness is. It's the demonstration of that goodness and love of others. Being nice and being kind are not the same. And we want to draw a strong contrast between those two words. Niceties come from politeness or etiquette or manners, that is to say, social customs. And you could be nice to someone without being kind to them, and vice versa. Say, for example, here my illustration is, it's not nice for a doctor to stick your baby with a needle. That's not very nice, but it is kind. Why? Because he is or she is helping that baby to be healthy, right? And that is a kind thing to do, to promote good health. That would be a kind thing to do. But just the act of putting the needle in, you know, that's not nice. It's not a nice thing to do, because niceness is sort of rooted in smoothing things over and politicizing things, and it comes from politeness and etiquette, social customs. Kindness, however, is rooted in moral goodness. It's rooted in true love for other people and in showing genuine compassion and mercy toward others in their lives. And sometimes that means that we need to do hard things with other people in order to help them to reform their life, perhaps. And we can be kind and still be firm. We can be kind and still tell the truth, you know. And that's what we're talking about when we understand kindness. And so kindness is a good thing, and we want to practice it. It is rooted in goodness and love. Well, let's think about three things in relationship to kindness this morning. First of all, we're going to look at divine kindness. That is the kindness that God displays. Second, we'll talk about some definitions of kindness in the Bible, how the Bible defines kindness. And then third, we'll look at some demonstrations of kindness by some Bible characters. So first of all, we see that God is abundant in kindness. Nehemiah 9 and verse 17 says, "But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them." God is abundant in kindness, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Psalm 117, verse 2. And this is that Hebrew word we talked about earlier, the word chesed, which has the idea of loving kindness, covenant faithfulness, the notion that God is going to be true to his word, and he's going to be kind to us because of that. God's kindness is for comfort. It brings comfort when we receive it properly. Notice Psalm 119, verse 76. "Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to your word to your servant." God's merciful kindness can comfort us in the right circumstance and situation. God's kindness is for his people. That is, if we think about it in terms of the covenant of God, we think about it in terms of his faithfulness to his covenant people, then his kindness, his loving kindness, is for his people. Isaiah 54 and verse 10 says, "For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you." So notice the relationship there between kindness and covenant. So there's a connection between those two things. And God's kindness is for his people. God's kindness is a reason to repent. Think about Joel 2 and verse 13, which says, "So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm." Paul kind of echoes this thought in the book of Romans when he says that the goodness of God leads men to repentance. And that is almost a summary of what this verse in Joel 2:13 says. This is talking about repentance. It's talking about turning back to God because of his mercy, his kindness. God is good to us, and so we should repent of our sins and turn back to him. Notice also that God's kindness is sent in his Son, Jesus the Christ. Ephesians 2 and verse 7 says that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding richness of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And so if you can think about that whole concept of why Jesus came to the earth, right? Because we were in need. We had a great need, being lost in sin, and we needed a redeemer. And God, in his kindness, sent Jesus to the earth because God loved us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," right? The kindness of God sent Jesus Christ. so that we could be saved. And God's chosen then must be kind as well. You know, think about that song that we sang this morning, "Oh, to be like thee," right? We want to be like God, and we are called to be imitators of God. And we can do that in reference to God's kindness. God is kind, and so we must be kind also. Therefore, as the elect of God, that is the chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Colossians 3 and verse 12. So kindness is one of those attributes of God which he calls us to imitate within our lives as well. So God is kind, and he displays kindness, and we need to be kind also. But what is kindness? How do we practice kindness? Well, first of all, we think about these definitions of kindness as exhibited in the Bible. Let's look at a few passages along that lines. First of all, it is a quality of love. So when we love other people, we are to be kind toward them. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. So kindness is a quality of love. And as we love other people, we're going to be kind to them. Kindness is part of loving our enemies. Luke 6 and verse 35, look at what Jesus says. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. So God is kind to his enemies, and we are to be kind to our enemies also. There's a difference, however, between kindness and enabling bad behavior. We don't want to enable bad behavior, but we do want to be kind. And so we've got to understand how to do that. Sometimes kindness in reference to our enemies means sitting down with them and talking with them about how things need to change. Kindness in reference to a person who is not a Christian would mean sitting down with them and sharing the message of the gospel with them and talking to them about the plan of salvation. That is a kind thing to do. May not be a comfortable thing to do, but it is a kind thing to do. And so there's a difference between kindness and enabling bad behavior. And again, that goes into what I said earlier about there being a difference between being kind and being nice. And it calls to mind a story that I read. This is a story that was related in a book that I read about a person. It's a true story that the lady who was being nice, and she thought she just had to be nice to everybody all the time. And so one of her friends called her up and said they wanted to go on vacation together. And said, "Oh, that sounds great. Let's go on vacation together." And they got down to where they were. And she was just so nice to everyone all the time, always said yes to everybody all the time. And they got down to the vacation site, and the friends had a misunderstanding. They thought that she was going to pay for everything, you know. And then that was not her understanding, that she was going to pay for everything. But then she didn't want to say no to them. She wanted to be nice to them, you know. And her niceness just kind of led into more and more obligation that she didn't really commit to. And so that was a problem for her in her life because she just kept being nice and nice and nice over and over again and without any kind of opposition to those who are not behaving well or those who are taking advantage or something like that. Kindness does not imply that kind of behavior. It does not imply enabling other people to behave badly or poorly. Kindness might mean talking to them about their bad behavior. Kindness, though, is also associated with forgiveness in Ephesians 4 and verse 32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And so we forgive. Yes, we forgive. And we forgive when people want to change their lives and change their behavior. And that's good. Kindness means forgiving one another. Kindness means tending to the ill and to the bereaved. Look at Job 6 in verse 14. To him who is afflicted, kindness should be shown by his friend, even though he forsakes the fear of the Almighty. So what is Job saying there? Is when you go to visit somebody who's sick, that's not the time to talk about difficult matters. It's not the time to talk about things that they need to fix in their life. You know, it's time to comfort. It's time to be kind. And then after that time is over, then you can address those other things. But that's what Job was talking about here. Kindness should be shown to his friend. Even though when someone is sick, when someone is afflicted, we need to show kindness. And so visiting is a good way to show kindness. It is kindness to correct people. And this is what Psalm 141 verse says. Let 141 verse 5, let the righteous strike me. It shall be a kindness. And let him rebuke me. It shall be as excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it. So here's a situation the psalmist is contemplating where he is caught up in some kind of error and someone comes to him and that person corrects him. And he says, that is a kindness. And we need to take it as a kindness. That is, someone who is trying to help us, someone who is trying to improve us, someone who is trying to love us. And so correction is kindness. And caring for strangers is kindness. Paul talks about those natives on the island of Crete, I believe it was, in Acts 28 and verse 2, that they showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. So, helping people out who are in dire circumstances is basically what Paul was talking about here, because he had been in a shipwreck and they had washed up on shore, and the natives there, they started a fire and they helped them to dry out and they gave them something to eat. You know, that's kindness. That's kindness, caring for strangers. And also showing respect for the dead. In 2 Samuel 2 and verse 5, so David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh Gilead and said to them, you are blessed of the Lord, for you have shown this kindness to your Lord, to Saul, and have buried him. So when we show proper respect for the dead, that's also a kind thing to do. So think about all of those aspects of kindness. It's a quality of loving people, loving our enemies, forgiveness, visiting the sick, correction, caring for strangers, respecting the dead. And then one more, and Paul mentions this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 6. That is, it is kind to minister the gospel, to share the gospel with other people. And he says that his ministry could be characterized by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love. And so these are attitudes that need to be displayed when sharing the gospel as well. So let's turn to some demonstrations of kindness in the Bible. And the first one we're going to look at is Boaz and Ruth. And you may recall that story. Ruth, being the daughter-in-law of Naomi, returned back to their native homeland, but they are impoverished. And Naomi hears that maybe they could go glean in the corners of the field of Boaz. So Ruth goes out to glean, and Boaz ends up inviting her to have even more than the gleanings. And they strike up a relationship and end up getting married. And so Ruth is that story. But in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 20, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed it be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours and one of our close relatives." In Ruth 3, verse 10, "Then he said, 'Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown kindness at the end.'" More kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. So there was kindness involved there, kindness from Boaz to Ruth and Naomi, and then kindness in return from Ruth to Boaz. And so kindness was demonstrated. Another example is King David. He showed kindness to the family of Saul. After Saul's death, 2 Samuel 9 and verse 1, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Because Jonathan was his good friend, and he wanted to show kindness to commemorate Jonathan. The worthy woman is someone who shows kindness. Proverbs 31 and verse 26, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness." We looked at the Apostle Paul earlier, how he showed kindness in pursuing the preaching and teaching of the gospel and fulfilling his ministry to others. And then Jesus was kind. Titus 3 and verses 4 through 7 says, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Titus 3 and verses 4 through 7. And so we see the ultimate kindness in God sending his son Jesus Christ and Jesus dying on the cross, that we might be forgiven of our sins. That was a kindness that was shown to us by God through Jesus. And Jesus' life then becomes a great example of kindness to others. That's not to say that Jesus always agreed with everyone that he interacted with. We know he did not. It's not to say that he never had some strong words for his disciples. We know that sometimes he did. But he was always kind. In all the situations that he pursued kindness. And so kindness is demonstrated by Jesus Christ. Kindness comes from God and his Spirit, as the Bible reveals to us these things. And we've seen this morning divine kindness, that God is kind, and we need to be kind. We've seen some definitions of kindness, ways in which we can act in a kind way toward others. And we've seen some demonstrations of kindness by God's people, Boaz and Ruth, David, the worthy woman, Paul, and Jesus himself. They were all kind, and we can be kind to others also. It is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And we have that under our control, to be kind to other people. And I would be kind to you right now by letting you know what you need to do to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you'd like to become a Christian through hearing his word and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins, you can receive the kindness of God in your life and become a child of God and be forgiven of those sins that for which Jesus died on the cross. And so why not receive the kindness of God through Jesus Christ today and become a child of God? And you can do that right now while together we stand and while we sing.